grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Next for our meditation is Trinity Sunday, is written in the book of Romans, the 5th chapter, the 8th verse. But God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is our text. If you had the opportunity to tell someone about the God we believe in, what would be the thing that you would tell them? You would want it to be something that revealed to them the true nature of our God. You would want them to be able to pick up immediately that important point about God. I think you would want them to know the depth of his love for them. You would want them to know how caring and gracious and merciful he really is. That's a tall order, isn't it? That's what we're tasked with doing on this Trinity Sunday. Trying to take these few minutes in the morning and focus our attention on one specific aspect of our God in whom we believe, so that we could know him better, appreciate the depth of his love for us, rejoice in the grace and mercy that he pours into our hearts and lives every day. Now, we do have a little bit of an advantage here because we are believers and we have been through all these kinds of things for some of us many years. And we do know and understand a lot about our God. But on Trinity Sunday, we still want to raise that understanding and to increase the depth of our love for the grace and mercy that our God shows us in Christ. So we want to use this time this morning to grow in grace and to grow in knowledge of our triune God. We want to try and see more of his love, to understand more the depth of the love that he has for us, to grow in our appreciation of how much grace and mercy we really do receive from God every day. Again, that's a tall order, but we're going to try and do that in 15 minutes or less by focusing on the glory of God. So we're going to try and narrow all of this down to the one thing that reveals to us the true glory of our God, the thing that shows us that in one act that he does for us, our salvation. We want to see that he planned it, he accomplished our salvation, and he gives it freely to us by grace through faith. Let's begin by reminding ourselves what it was like at the very beginning. Even before there was a beginning, there was God. And he was holy. He was righteous. And he was perfect. And he went about the business of creating this world and this whole universe to be a reflection of that. Every part of all of creation was just like its creator. It was perfect in all of its parts. The crowning touch to all of the creation was the man and the woman. He created them just like he created the rest of the creation. They were perfect in all of their parts. And not only were they perfect, but they were in complete fellowship with their creator. Scripture tells us that God gave the man and the woman a perfect place to live in this perfect world, and he called it paradise. Where the man and the woman lived, they could see every day how all of creation reminded them of the goodness and the grace and the love and the mercy and care of their God for them and for all creation. You would think that the man and the woman couldn't possibly misunderstand the depth of the love that their Creator had for them. But somehow they did. In fact, they got it all wrong. They thought they knew best. They thought that they could do it all better. And as a result, they disobeyed and they fell into sin. And that sin separated them from their Creator forever. At that moment, they became lost and condemned creatures who now had to run and hide from their God. Now, instead of rejoicing in His presence, they were filled with fear, because they knew that by what they had done, they deserved only God's wrath and anger and His judgment for what they had done. They knew that God would have had every right to punish them for their sin. But rising above His righteousness and His holiness and His justice, there still stood the love of God for the man and the woman. He found that He could take no pleasure in their punishment. And so, in His great love for them, He devised a plan. A plan that would satisfy His justice, that would punish sin, and would still be able to save them from the consequences of their sin. Now, that was not going to be an easy task to accomplish. Someone had to come and do what they had not done. Where they were disobedient, someone would have to come and obey. Where they were imperfect, someone would have to come and be perfect. Where they had failed, someone was going to have to come and succeed. Where they had broken the law, someone was going to have to come and keep the law perfectly. Someone was going to have to come to restore the perfection that existed between God and His creation before their fall into sin. Now, if all that wasn't hard enough, there was another problem. Sin had been committed, and sin is going to have to be dealt with. God couldn't just overlook sin, forget that it was there, or sweep it under the rug. God's justice and His righteousness and His holiness would not allow that. Sin was going to have to be paid for. A ransom price was going to have to be paid to buy the sinner back from sin and death. The price would require a sacrifice. But not just any sacrifice would do. It would require the sacrifice of the one who had come to undo all the things that the first Adam had done. He would have to be perfect in every way. He was going to have to die so that those who have sinned could have life again. So you see, this wasn't going to be an easy process from beginning to end. It would take God to keep the law perfectly. It would take a man who could suffer and die as the sacrifice. So how is God going to accomplish this salvation? In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. and the babe of Bethlehem, God's plan for the redemption of the world began. His plan was completed on the cross when Jesus announced to the world, "It is finished." On the cross, the justice and the righteousness and the love of God met over Jesus. On the cross, the perfect Son of God was sacrificed for the sins of the world. On the cross, by that sacrifice, the sins of the world were paid for. Now, how do we know that God's plan of redemption was completed perfectly by all that Jesus had done? The answer will come 3 days later, when Jesus burst forth from that tomb alive. That resurrection is the proof that we need to assure us that God has accepted his sacrifice as sufficient to pay for the sins of the world. Salvation has been accomplished. Death and the grave have been conquered. Jesus has brought life and immortality to a world living and dying in sin. But the plan of God doesn't end there. He knew that because we were sinners, we could not come to faith in Jesus on our own. So another miracle was going to have to take place. Another miracle in the hearts and lives of sinners. So that we could believe, God would send the Holy Spirit, who would come and work saving faith in our hearts, who would give us the power to grab hold of the promises of the gospel and to keep us in that faith until life everlasting. A Spirit who comes not just once to us, but every time we use the means of grace. Every time we open the Word, every time we worship, every time we commune, the Holy Spirit is being poured into our hearts and lives for the purpose of strengthening our faith, for the purpose of making sure that we are always in the faith until that day when God calls us home to live with him forever. God has done it all for us. He planned our redemption. He accomplished our salvation. He has given us our faith by the power of the Holy Spirit. He keeps us in that faith until life everlasting. That's the love, the depth of love that God has for us. That love and the grace and the mercy of God shines even brighter when we remember that he did all of this for us while we were yet sinners. He did all of this for us while we were still his enemies. He did all of this while we were at warfare with him. He saved us, even when we hated him. And even more than that, there was nothing in any of us that would have moved him to do any of this for us. Scriptures tell us that when he looked down from his exalted throne in heaven upon the people of this world, he saw this conclusion that he said that there's no one down there who does anything good. He could have, and he probably should have, punished us all eternity for our sins. So why did he do it? He did it because he loved us. He did it because he wanted to save us from the consequences of our sins. We didn't deserve it, but he loved us. And he did it all for us freely. And he gives it all to us without any cost. Today we gather together in his house to give thanks to our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who gives to us by grace through faith this overwhelming victory. To him, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory, both now and forevermore. Amen.